The transforming power of the Word of God is central in both of our scripture readings this morning. The reading from Luke's Gospel describes Jesus returning to his home country, Galilee, following his river baptism and his long wilderness fast and temptation. Reports about Jesus had been spreading, probably the result of his healing miracles and his synagogue teachings. So when Jesus returns to Nazareth, to the synagogue, he's asked to read the lesson of the prophets. Now, since there is no standard lectionary to consult, the choice of readings is up to him. And so in a voice filled with anticipation, Jesus reads aloud these words from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release from the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Finished with this brief passage, Jesus takes his seat, as was the custom for teachers to sit rather than stand. And so when Jesus sits down, everyone looks at him expecting some commentary or explanation of this probably familiar text. And Jesus gives them a zinger, a message that remains fresh and provocative right down to our own time. Jesus sets free the scripture passage he has just read. He lets the lion out of the cage. He overthrows the ho-hum expectations of the people around him. And here is what he says. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The scripture has been fulfilled. So let's think about this for a moment. This is the first of Jesus' teachings specifically recorded in Luke's gospel. And in it, Jesus did not imply that he was going to be a king like King David with lots of power. He didn't imply he was going to be a king like King Solomon with lots of wealth. He didn't imply that he was going to be a military leader like Joshua. Rather, Jesus essentially said, I am going to be a servant. I'm going to take care of and heal the poor, the blind, the lame, and the captives. Jesus does the unexpected, the unimaginable on that memorable Sabbath morning in Nazareth. He claims those ancient prophetic words from Isaiah as his own personal mission statement. The reason God's Spirit had come crashing down on him at his baptism was to empower him to do precisely this. Bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, let all the oppressed go free, and announce the sweet year of Jubilee when God's justice will reshape society. Jesus' opening sermon revealed the fundamental theme of compassion for the poor and for those who are broken. Yet what does all of this have to do with us, with you and with me? What does Jesus' message mean for our lives, the church, and the life of this congregation? If we take our identity as followers of Christ seriously, then we too ought to adopt these words that Jesus read in the synagogue as part of his mission statement. How might our lives be different if our hearts are open to hearing and responding to the living word of God? Notice Jesus did not say, yesterday the scriptures were fulfilled, or tomorrow the scriptures will be fulfilled. You know, at least you could have said, well, someday the scriptures will be fulfilled, right? An announcement like that could move our hearts towards hope. It would give us something to anticipate. Every time we see misery and justice and poverty, we can say, someday God is going to straighten this all out. The day is coming when God will set everything right. He could have said, someday the kingdom of God will come. He could have, but he didn't, did he? Instead, Jesus said, this is the day, the time has come, today the scriptures are fulfilled. Today. Today, the scriptures are fulfilled. When Martin Luther King Jr. came preaching to the people in our country, he did not say anything new. His message was 200 years old. We hold it to be self-evident that all people are created equal. Dr. King looked out and saw people who were not treated as equals. He perceived others for whom this truth was not self-evident. So he went from city to city and declared, today is the day when we will take seriously our own Declaration of Independence. Gunshots rang out and cut him down. Why? What radical act did he commit which cost him his life? In the tradition of the prophets, King reminded people of what they already knew and said, today is the day, sisters and brothers, today is the day. So the question remains for us, is today the day? Is this day really the day? Do we believe that? Jesus said, I've come to preach good news to the poor. Well, that's a noble thought. But the poor don't live on our streets or move in our circle of friends. And even if they did, what good news would we share with them? It's far easier to feed them from a distance, sending a few dented cans of corn to the soup kitchen. Instead of getting involved, it's possible to perform a small deed to ease the conscience and avoid engaging face to face. Jesus said, I have come to proclaim release to the captives. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty difficult assignment. Because it involves speaking to those in captivity. Now, some of those captives are imprisoned behind bars. Still others are captives in other ways. Confined by forces such as prejudice, hate, addiction, or sin. It will not be easy to announce their freedom. And Jesus said, I have come to proclaim new sight for the blind. But tell me, do mere words have that kind of power? Can words help people to recover their vision? Can words remove cataracts or focus one's sight? We're only talking about words after all. What can words do? And Jesus said, I have come to liberate the oppressed. Oh, wait a minute. Let's not get political in church, right? With every oppressed person, there is an oppressor. For every person who is held down or held back, there is someone else who is doing the holding. Do we want to admit how our privilege has kept others down? Do we want to get tangled up in setting free people by letting go of some of the benefits of our own privilege? That can be messy work. If we get involved, we might lose friends and make enemies. It's far easier to play it safe and hide out in the comforts of a church. And Jesus said, I have come to proclaim the year of God's favor. And that may be the most difficult task of all. Imagine it. Announcing that all people are valued by God, not because of what they do or where they live or how much money they earn or their level of religious involvement, but that they are valued because God is delighted with them. That may be the most difficult announcement a prophet ever makes. And who is going to believe it? The people to whom we are sent are more accustomed to measuring themselves by the world's yardsticks. And yet Jesus comes to people who don't ever feel like they measure up. And he announces to them the boundless welcome and love of God. A lot of people cannot perceive the breadth of such mercy. How can anyone say, this is the year of God's favor? I do not know except to announce that Jesus said, today is the day. Check the calendar, not last Thursday, not Tuesday coming up. Jesus said, today is the time of God. In the reading from Nehemiah, we heard how over the years the Israelites grew careless and cynical about their faith, and also how the reading of the Word of God served to wake the people from their apathy and remind them of their identity as God's people. As followers of Christ, we too must ward off the indifference that threatens us. We can't claim to not know who we are. As Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 12, we are the body of Christ, arranged by God to do God's will. We can't claim we don't know what we're expected to do. Jesus makes it quite clear that we're to share the love of God with all and to promote justice in our communities. We can't claim to know to whom we're not to know who to whom we're accountable to. It is the living God we must answer for all we do and say, as well as for what we neglect to do and say. To be sure, the work ahead of us as followers of Christ will be hard and unpleasant at times. We're certain to be stretched and challenged in ways we could never imagine. We may even become discouraged and disillusioned. We may second guess and doubt. But the good news is that we have the assurance of God's presence, God's love, God's guidance, and God's strength as together we live out our Christian faith. For anybody who would follow the prophet of Galilee, for anyone who would bear the name of Christian, now is the time to share God's love and mercy and to work for justice for all. Today is the day. Do you believe that? Amen.